Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, we bring you on an expedition through the depths of the movie industry to discuss the amazing, terrible, and amazingly terrible movies based on video games. Our hosts' entire lives are dedicated to a single goal, probably answering the age-old question, do games make good movies?
Hello, Internet, and welcome to Video Game Movie Anatomy. Today, we are covering a special case and a positive case because, damn it, it's Christmas. Vanellope, don't fall! It's Christmas, and we're trying to feel good before we go off into that great good night. That is the holiday season. I am one of your hosts, the Internet Soapbox Mark Donica. Follow me on Twitter, at Soapbox Mark. The team's back together.
Yeah!
I would say I'm the Ralph of the group. Stacy, the Vanellope, of course. Go ahead and tell them your Twitter and such.
Hi, guys. I'm Stacy Shuttleworth. You can find me at YieldNerd on Twitter, talking about, well, whatever I'm reading or watching this.
Fair enough. And I would say our Fix-It Felix, because we fall apart when he's not here.
Oh, look at that. I missed you guys.
Mr. P to the D's.
P Patrick to the D's. That is the Twitter handle. Find me at P to the D's on Twitter. And I was going to go with Calhoun. I thought I
You're
would be Calhoun? A good Calhoun,
Calhoun?
Right?
Matching like, hair.
Yeah, exactly. I want to be her when I grow up. She was badass.
The definition of a badass character.
I couldn't agree more.
So happy to be talking about this movie.
As am I. I think I tweeted at you. I was so excited. So I missed you guys last week. And like you like I didn't know what movie we were doing. So admittedly, we hit each other midweek. And I'm like, God bless you two. Thank you. I agree. It's like
it
Christmas spirit. We're like, we get a feel-good movie going into this. I don't have to come here and be contentious for like an hour. This is the best. This is your gift to me.
I want everybody to feel good today.
But thank you. Mission accomplished.
The one thing that I am sad about is that I left my Ralph cosplay at home. It is literally the only costume that I have is Ralph.
And it's genius. Like, when we talk about casting a little bit later, it's wrecked because now you're my casting.
You know what? I'll take it.
A late 80s actor?
Yeah, I'm a late 80s actor. I was born in the late 80s. That'll work.
So good.
So, we are covering Disney's Wreck-It Ralph, directed by Rich Moore in the year 2012. Welcome to Video Game Movie Anatomy. We're going to be dissecting the movie pretty well. Before we get into all of our speed runs, luckily, this was a wide release film.
Yep.
So, I brought in the trailer and we're going to kind of talk over it about just our general consensus before we hit speedruns.
Okay.
So let's hit the trailer.
Let's do it.
I remember being so excited for this
you
movie.
You were
because it's a video game. It's a Disney movie about video games.
So I went into it like really kind of skeptical. Right? We talk every week about how terrible they all are, and I thought that there's no way this subject matter would hit.
And while I can't agree with you, they brought it. They brought the curmudgeon. Storyline, and from their original ideas, and we're going to talk a little more later, they've been trying to make this movie since the late 80s.
Yeah.
Which is why our casting was in the late 80s. And I think the reason why it never truly hit was because they wanted to make it about the hero. How do you make a hero interesting if he's perfect?
Right.
Right.
So by changing it and making it about the bad guy, quote-unquote bad guy,
right.
It helps make it a little bit more appealing. Now, Stacey, did seeing the video game characters that we know and love help a little bit more?
To get me interested
yeah,
in the movie?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little... I mean, first off, it was Disney, so I was already excited for Disney.
Sure.
But the fact that it dealt with video games, too, and this came out in a time when I was playing a lot of games and I had the free time to spend playing a lot of games, so I was doubly excited because these classics that I had been playing around with were on the screen in a Disney movie.
How about you, Patrick?
You know, again, I was a little bit skeptical, and I think coming into it, like, what caught me more than anything was word of mouth. Like, people had seen this and been like, no, like, this is an unmitigated...
Success.
It's an unmitigated just joy. Watch this. Don't sleep on it. Mm. And like people who I would relate to is just generally cynical, you know, as a whole, were like, no, it's a touching, outstanding movie. So, which I think I even skipped the preview. Like even just watching this commercial, like none of this rings a bell. I think I just slept on it entirely.
Like this is for the wide audience. Was this like for the most part? like they did have the characters that we recognize here and there.
Yep.
But for the most part, it's seeing Sugar Rush for the first time, seeing Heroes Duty for the first time, and seeing Fix-It Felix Jr. for the first time, all as different games. And
I think just that bad guy support group would have sold me on that, right?
Like, that as they're going through.
Was it really?
It was. That was what I was most excited about. I was like, oh, they're going to put all these video game characters together. They're going to interact, and it's going to be
And even then, they didn't show you that whole scene and why it's funny that it's Inky that's leading the whole thing. So I couldn't be more excited about seeing that for the same reasons that you said, Stacey. Two of my favorite mediums coming together in a way with actors that, like, even after seeing the movie, I was like, they're in it. This person's in it. That person's in it. So let's get
Adam Carolla as Adam one of Carolla. The donuts.
Adam Carolla and Horatio Sanz as Duncan and Winchell.
I know.
Hilarious.
Just every little bit is just great.
And it didn't even occur to me until the very end. I think, like, Adam's last line, I'm like, is that Carolla?
It's Carolla. And
yes, it is.
Yeah.
And also Ed O'Neill as Mr. Litwack, the arcade owner.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Like, you want to do a bit part in an arcade flick? Sure, it's Disney. Good gosh darn. So now we're going to do our speed runs. And our speed runs is where we give, usually, a...
We collaborated before this. She's got a shorter one. I've got a little bit of a line.
Okay, so you're gonna put it together.
Yes.
So that's it's essentially a box, a blurb, something that you can say right away, get the idea of the film. For example, Mortal Kombat has a cheesy script, but nails the spirit of the game. Quick, to the point. Who wants to go first?
I'd like you to go first, because I'm going to get long-winded with it. Why use five words when 50 will do?
Okay.
I suppose.
it's a family thing. We just never shut up.
Good
please.
All right, here's the speed run. Wreck-It Ralph pays a delightful homage to the games of old, taking the 8-bit characters we loved as children and bringing us past the screen and beyond the port as we watch Ralph struggle with his programmed role in the traditional gaming setup.
That's good. That's like a straight up just of something I would read in EGM.
I want to see the movie now. I feel like you've got a career.
Cheer it up. We got it.
Yeah, here we go.
This is really good.
Found my calling.
I very much over prepared for this one. Like, you guys know me. Usually I come into these things like, what? Like, literally I'll sit down and like, what did we watch again? I have no idea what we're talking about when we get on camera. I'm super excited about the casting, and I gave you two, right? So, but it'll work together. So
it's even better.
A one about your same length.
Fair enough.
I said quite simply the very best video game movie or video game adjacent movie, period, hard stop. And then a little longer one that explains it in the tradition of Toy Story, Wreck-It Ralph imagines the secret life of children's playthings. Only here, it's video game characters come to life in arcade after it closes its doors. Disney has got a high scoring hit on its hands that's brilliantly conceived, gorgeously executed, and earning bonus points for backing nostalgia with genuine emotion.
Dude, if we got to do more current movies as they come out because we got box quote makers.
I'm telling 100%. You, I'm telling you, I spent some time on this.
It's your phone.
Well, it was beautiful. Yeah.
I know, I was going to vet it with you guys, and we're going to go through some edits to have you punch
like
it up a little
scrawling
bit.
Scrawling on the walls, like, no, this won't work. It's like a beautiful mind. Well, mine's relatively simple. Wreck-It Ralph does what most video game movies can't, and it shows why this medium can be successful with video game properties.
So what was the secret to its success? When you say that, like what about this made it so that it could do things that other video game movies can't?
The fact that it wasn't based off of an existing property.
I agree. I completely agree.
Because, and the director himself said, I didn't want to do it based off of anything because there's already so much history there that you can't play with it. So by making your own game and your own history of that game and then your own history within that world, you can do whatever you want with it.
No, totally, right? You're not beholden to lore. And, like, everybody knows, like, people, gamers in that community, like, are the loudest, like, vocal minority in the world, right?
Yeah.
So one misstep, it's kind of gross. I love that they just invented their own property. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And with all of these, you see the source material.
Yes.
With Fix-It Felix, you see it's a reverse Donkey Kong.
For sure.
With Turbo Time, they even said it, like, Rally X was kind of the next one. Sugar Rush, clearly Mario Kart. And Heroes Duty is, I mean, it's in an arcade, so it's weird. So I would put it to like an Area 51 or
slash Call of Duty maybe.
It's definitely
headed that way.
Area 51's a good parallel.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of an arcade shooter, like a Time Crisis, yeah. mm-hmm. something like that. So
Virtua Cop.
So as gamers, we could see those parallels accept them because mm-hmm. those type of carbon copies were made anyway.
Totally.
Like literally, right. Donkey Kong is a copy of Popeye
mm-hmm.
because they lost the licensing. They're like, let's just put our own crap into it. So
usually, was definitely overheard in a board meeting.
So that's Nintendo.
Like, put our crap, ship it.
That was in Nintendo's
seal of quality. Sorry,
that was in Nintendo's actual press release. So we just threw crap into the old machine.
Do you see how much we're needed for back of the box quotes? Like, that's the best Nintendo can come up with. We have a future here.
Yeah, I
like
got it.
Damn it, Reggie.
So next.
From there, this will be interesting because we're dealing with a genuinely good movie.
Yes.
Controller toss moment. Usually this is a moment when you're watching the film and you have a you've got to be kidding me moment. So it could be something where, like, usually it's with something bad. This will be interesting because while some people may be able to find fault in this movie, I really can't.
Yeah.
I think it's an amazing film. So do either of you guys have a controller toss moment?
So, in the spirit of over-preparing, so, like, literally, I'm with you. The one time I was, like, I was going through it, I'm like, I think I just threw it out of just pure joy. And I think you tweeted something along the lines of, like, shut up. You were crying. I wasn't the one crying.
You're
but my controller toss, like, damn it, this is so good. Was it the end when he gets thrown off the building and gets to peek across the way at the game? And, like, you know, and I think the line, it's not so much, like, if she can like me, then I'm a pretty likable guy, something along those lines. But when she said, like, and the racers love her, and that little girl pounds the, like, screen mm-hmm. with her, like, what a magic, and, like, those type of moments have to really be earned, and it earned it, like, this movie. Anyway, so it was kind of magic. If I had to find one weird, like, well, actually, moment in this, if I had to, like, take fault, not fault, but, like, you know, we're all big gamers, mm-hmm. and in that bad guy support group, the guy that calls him out on going turbo was M. Bison from Street Fighter, and I thought that was a reference to Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
That's exactly what I thought when
I
saw it.
And I was super like, wait, what? Like, what do you mean you went turbo? Like, that's a good thing, right? Like, that was the definitive version of that game.
Dude, your game got faster.
Yeah, and better, and, like, you could choose character on character, like, all of those things. So I think that was the one... miss, like, if I were reading through the script, that would be my line.
If you really get in there.
But that was us, though. That's the big Street Fighter fans who were like...
But why couldn't... If Blinky had said it, or Clyde, or whoever the ghost was, or, like, anybody else but Bison called him out on going turbo.
It could have been Satine.
But it certainly... Oh, yeah. But it certainly wasn't a controller toss moment. No. I was like, you know, all right.
It was like a pause and, like...
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to keep playing, but that was weird.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's too long of a name. Stacey?
Well, you know, I mean,
terrible segment.
Yeah.
My controller toss moment, it's one that you can really only have once, and it's the big reveal about King Candy.
And I believe we have a picture for that one, if you would be as so kind to show it, because that is mine as well.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
You know what? The first time, I thought that was so well done, so well led up to, and mm-hmm. they really brought you right there, and mm-hmm. then it was still enough of a surprise to me to be like, whoa, what?
It doesn't give me chills, but it still makes me go, ah, damn it, that was such a good
It was, good. That was great.
It was, like, really good. Great.
In the theater, I'm pretty sure I audibly gasped. Just like, what?
Wow!
And they totally got you because, like, they would say going turbo, going turbo, going turbo, but they only told you the story once, and you didn't think about it because of how kind of rational King Candy was.
Right.
And he was also... The fact that he was a funny character and mm-hmm. based off of, and the performance was based off of the Mad Hatter, Edwin's famous performance as the Mad Hatter. So mm-hmm. already we're disarmed by that. Yes. So the fact
I don't
that
expect it.
I love good. It so much. I really do. And it's one of, and oddly enough, it's one of those reveals where James, the guy who's running the boards tonight, love you, James. I asked him, you've seen Wreck-It Ralph, right? Because there's a thing, oh yeah, I've seen it. Good. Because the reveal, the King Candy Turbo reveal,
totally.
Is so good that I wouldn't want to spoil that for anybody. Because,
It's worth it. They get you there
mm-hmm.
for sure. And they make it inconspicuous enough because you just think, oh, the turbo that's in regards to Ralph. You never think, oh, there's another character here who's already gone or who is Turbo.
And they seemingly close the book on it.
They wrap it up.
Yeah, because right. they said they unplugged the thing and it was gone.
Mm-hmm. Take him out of the arcade. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're like, oh, cool. That was taken care of.
Right.
But
wrapped up.
What,
Legend.
Like, so good. Such a wonderful transition. So, Wreck-It Ralph, I still don't know why I put the breakdown so low, but the story of Wreck-It Ralph tells the film of Wreck-It Ralph tells the story of said character who rebels against his role and dreams of becoming a hero. He travels between games in the arcade and ultimately must eliminate a dire threat that could affect the entire arcade and one that Ralph himself inadvertently started. And the fact that it wasn't bogged down in actual character lore made it that much more worthwhile to care about. And despite being super, super... I need to just stop really talking about how much
just
I love
gush,
this movie.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
no,
I'm not going to gush.
Why would you ever
on.
Stop talking
we're
about
not,
it?
We're not yeah. at the actual discussion part. I made a list for a reason, damn it. So let's get to
keeping
our stars.
I know.
Our first star, Mr. John C. Reilly, as Ralph. I don't know a better actor today, really, who could have fit this role as well as he did.
I mean, hard stop, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just better mm-hmm. actor today. I mean, John C. Reilly's incredible, but just destroys this. Which I learned after the fact, this is written by the guy who wrote Cedar Rapids, which mm-hmm. also stars John C. Reilly, and also one of my favorite roles.
It's like, he knew. He's like, I see a big old curmudgeon in that
guy.
Yeah,
that was good.
Mm-hmm. His top three grossing films were Guardians of the Galaxy, and this is all worldwide, $771 million. Wreck-It Ralph coming in at number two at $473 million, and The Perfect Storm, which I totally forgot he was in.
Yeah,
$328 million.
I forgot he was in Guardians. Like, he's great in for the 36 seconds he's in.
No,
Guardians.
He's
right.
Great. He's in it pretty
in
well. Like, he's in it enough to be supporting and not a cameo.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I can see that.
And that's why.
That.
And that's why I picked it, because I was like, he has a good arc in terms of dealing with Peter and the crew.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. by the end of it, you come to terms with him as a character, and he looks like he'll be the guy babysitting the crew from the Nova Corps going on.
I hope so. That was one of the best scenes of the entire movie when they're leaving and they all pass him. It's fantastic.
Just like, oh, I've made a huge mistake. God, I love that movie. And then our co-star, Miss Sarah Silverman, playing the role of Vanellope von Schweetz. She's been in she does a lot of passion pieces.
Yeah.
So not too huge of a mark on the box office, but she's an amazing actress who brings the impishness and sort of careless abandon of a child to Vanellope.
And that quippy, like, that unfiltered, just like, say what's top of you and top of my mind. The diaper baby, like, literally, I've been running around saying that since I finished watching that movie.
Every line is...
She's great.
It's wonderful.
And it's... She plays it well enough to where it feels like when she first starts speaking, like, I'm not going to like her. Like, because she has that just amount of diaper baby in her voice to allude to, like, she's kind of a little jerk.
Yeah.
Right.
But super, super quickly, you learn to love her, especially, like... And that's akin to the writing, where she's this opposing force for Ralph. If you watched any of the trailers, you know they're eventually gonna, like, you want to know what the moment is that really brings them together.
Right.
And seeing the kids just tear apart her cart.
It's heartbreaking.
Oh, monstrous.
It's heartbreaking. Again, I'd forgotten
really
how
upsetting.
Much they earn that, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think a lot of films, especially in the genre, cheat a little bit there, right? Like, there's a moment that should elicit emotion, and so they're just banking on people having that as rational human beings, but it just doesn't work. It's so earned in this movie. Like, that is rough.
And the fact that that was a setup for when Ralph does it later in the movie.
Because you
feel immediately how heartbreaking that is.
Totally.
Right.
And then... You have to sit through it again, but your hero has to do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Super tough. And that doing it for your own good is just never like anything.
No,
you
know, no.
You want to hear that?
Kids don't understand.
Oh.
Man. And so her biggest hits were Wreck-It Ralph was number one, again, at $473 million. There's Something About Mary was her number two.
Again.
Talk about, like... Huge. $360 million worldwide. And then School of Rock at $131 million. She's great when she takes the right role, and it's movies like this that make me wish she would do it a little bit more.
I agree. Yeah.
Yes.
And
at least more VO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's got a great range for that.
Yeah.
Like, she hasn't used her own voice yet, so it makes it feel like her characterizations can be pretty good, even just off of this one. Rounding out the rest of the cast, incomparable Jack McBrayer as Fix-It Felix Jr. Is there another molasses-esque voice that could have played Felix today.
What did he call? What did he say? What was the line? You give me the honey.
The honey glow.
The honey glow.
The honey glow.
I've forgotten all about it. It's one of those details so you just gloss over and it's just perfect. Anybody else delivers that line, you're like, come on. But like,
really?
He
sells it.
He nails it.
He is one of
the things. So good. Like what you did there.
Boom!
Again, hire this one.
That was good. He just has an innocence and a purity that you would expect from a video game character like this. And this is the perfect storm of casting.
Oh, okay.
Really. Jane Lynch is Calhoun from Heroes Duty.
Destroys.
The most sad, depressing backstory of any video game character ever.
Unbelievable.
Even just you see it initially, and then the flashback later of the dynamite gal bit, where it's like dynamite, son of a biscuit. Oh man!
How good was that little touch when they are getting married, she and Felix, and everybody's got their
laser pointers. It's great.
And one day she didn't check her watch. It was her wedding day.
It's not her fault.
Oh goodness!
They handled that all really well, though. The characterization and how their backstory is built in. Great,
just beautiful.
Okay,
our villain one of our villains for the film, Alan Tudyk as King Candy / Turbo.
I had to look that up.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know it was Alan Tudyk, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
I didn't know until after the first time I had seen it, and then someone was like, "Hey, that's Alan Tudyk," and I was like, "No, it's not.
Sorry,
there's no way."
I was there at a Comic-Con when they first announced the cast, and he was like, "Oh, and also rounding out the cast, we got Alan Tudyk." He's like, "People are gonna freak out that he's in a major movie,
dude, totally."
Right? Yeah,
and he nails this performance,
and a chameleon, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you just audibly pick up that's
right.
him, right? Like, I think if you don't know.
You wouldn't figure it out throughout the movie.
Edwin, I will say, is one of the most fun voices to do because you can really play with those levels.
Can you do?
Can I do Edwin, please?
That's amazing!
That's why I love King Candy so much. It brings me back to a part of my life that I couldn't even relive if I wanted to.
This is magic. This is a free show. People are paying for this. Like, right? This is not... Dude, literally, when we leave here, could you do the outbound message on my voicemail? That's all I want.
You've reached Patrick
I would pay great
he
money
can't
this.
Come to the phone right now.
Like, it's only $15.
Totally.
I should charge.
You
I probably should.
Should
charge. He's like, that got me free stuff at Disneyland. Like, not even exaggerating. I was like, hey, if I can do an impression, can you let me trade 2 pins instead of one? He's like, oh yeah, try one. It did it. And they're like, sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I want it to be the holiday greeting. Like, dude, so good. So good.
Popcorn talk. We talk movies. So, needless to say, a very unforgettable performance by Alan Tudyk.
By you?
Well, shoot.
I can't.
But also, one that kind of goes under the radar is Mindy Kaling as Taffeta. Taffeta Mutton Fudge.
Yeah, you know, I did not know that until I saw this list.
Mm-hmm. When we were watching it in theaters, Dre, my fiance, was watching it and went, holy crap, that was Mindy Kaling.
Yeah.
And that was before I started watching The Office. And now, knowing her... excellent.
Yep, I agree.
Excellent. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Joe Latruglio as Markowski, the only other named soldier that we get, who Ralph steals his armor from. Scared of bugs. What a monster. And Ed O'Neill as Mr. Litwack, that, like, despite being known for, like, Ed Bundy and I forget his character name on Modern Family, he still has a warmth to his voice that, like, I want to go to that arcade.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, very fatherly, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I've been around.
It's like sorry, darling, here's your quarterback.
Provide and joy.
Yeah,
I agree.
And he just gets to see these kids, like, these kids are having a good time. And it seems like one of those small dreams where he's like, I always wanted to, ever since Fix It Felix came out, or as a game, he wanted, like, if only I could, like, be, actually, I wonder if in the flashback you can see him as like a boy. Or like as a young man in the arcade.
Oh, I don't know.
And then he comes back through.
But
I
always pictured him as an owner-operator, right? Like, he owns that place.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, like, and he's welcoming everybody in at that one scene when he unlocks the doors.
Yeah.
Come on in.
That is
and
his,
he,
yeah.
And he cares about all of the arcade machines. Like, oh, poor Felix and this, that, and the other thing. Also, really, really fun random note. If I remember correctly, Litwack's Arcade, there's a place in Downey. I totally forget the name of it, but it's based off of the layout of that. Or it looks just like it. I mean, there are only so many layouts that an arcade can be, but it It looks like an arcade that I've been to.
Can we?
I think that's the idea.
We need a field trip, like an on-location shoot.
Hopefully,
like,
it's still there.
The advent of barcades in Los Angeles as a whole is a good thing. I mean, not just in LA, right? Like nationally. So I think we should, you know.
And speaking of that, speaking of arcades, right before we get into the film plot discussion, since this is Video Game Movie Anatomy, have you guys played Fix-It Felix Jr.?
I have not.
You have not?
I have not.
So you didn't get the link that I sent you about playing the game? Oh, that's fine. I don't care.
Again, I was just bragging about my preparation. I'm a professional. No, I have not played
that. That's fine. 100% fine. So Disney, upon release, they made a limited edition, I want to say no more than 20 arcade cabinets, maybe even less, of the Fix-It Felix game that you could play in Southern California.
Tell me the cast gets one, right? Like that would have to be the souvenir, right?
A friend of mine at a place where I used to work made, custom built a Fix-It Felix machine that has ROMs, so you could play any of the, like, the Burger Time, the Q-Berts, the whatever, and we did. But he was just like, we were both so obsessed with this movie when it came out, so the fact that I had access to a Fix-It Felix machine to play Fix-It Felix was just like,
that's pretty
even,
great.
Even more. So, Stacey, what is your experience with the
game?
Well,
they had it at Disneyland, and I played it there. Yeah, and I mean, I played it with a four-year-old trying to play with
me.
That's
the way to
It was very exciting. Yeah. It was over very quickly. It was fun. I tried my best. I was like, no, honey, go like this, go like this. It worked, so, you know, slightly.
Is it designed to eat your quarters?
You know,
it's actually okay.
It's fair.
We got a
like
fair.
Turtles in Time or
no. for having a 4-year-old at the helm, we had enough time to actually get through a little bit of it.
Very cool.
And see the game.
That's great.
It's actually very similar to Donkey Kong, to where you could, if you really try, you could probably get to level 4 or so before you start dying.
Okay.
And that's where you start losing your lives pretty regularly. But
great.
They put it on tablets as well as PC. You can just play it on your computer.
Great.
So I would highly recommend anybody who hasn't played Fix-It Felix Jr. It's very addicting, like a game like
fun.
That should be. Mm-hmm. So talking about the plot, this, I think, is one of the few examples, if you peel it back, I think it's a story of like an adopted father or an adopted father and a daughter. And you don't really get that in modern films, let alone animated films made by Disney. Mm-hmm. And the message of Vanellope's glitch being a problem is a very, very sort of deep cutting message about people who may think or who may have handicaps and becoming empowered by that.
Sure.
And it's such a good message.
I agree.
All around. I mean, there are a couple of different messages that this movie kind of promotes, and all of them are amazing, including, you know, Vanellope's whole story.
Mm. The glitch are, like, I like what you said about, like, a handicap, but I think it's almost literally anything that makes you different, right? Or in reality truly makes you special, but especially in that frame of reference, as a kid, you don't get that, right? Like, you're just ostracized for being different in any capacity.
Right.
Yeah.
So, kind of love that she, you know, there was that realization where that became her strength and helped cause her to win the race. And, you know, she valued that, right? Like, and she could channel it and made her unique.
And I love how it didn't go away at the end when the game reset. She kept that part of her personality because it was part of her.
That's who she was.
Like, that was her power up as a full character.
Yes.
Right.
And so something that it became or ended up becoming something that was always in her. That was always something that defined her.
Right.
And her owning it made it that much more special and powerful. The humor. There's a lot of referential humor. Sonic being in the background saving, like, if you ever leave your own game. Roger Craig Smith, who has been on this show before, wonderful human being. Should have called him. I'm an idiot. Anyway. Did you think that having all of the video game characters was distracting or, like, just enough?
It was interesting. So they ride this bat, like, there's this line, right, where it feels like you're going to be, that it's not that accessible, right? Like, if it's too thick, then people who aren't in that know won't get any of it. But, like, it was just enough for people that it was a delight, right? The tapper scene with Ryu and Ken in the background as they're getting served, and he has to take a break, go serve people really fast, and then come back. Like, all of that totally works if you're not in the know, but the fact that you are and you get it just makes it that much more magic.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a really hard line, I think, to write for, right? Because you want to be accessible, but they killed it even more so than, oh my gosh, the other video game movie, the one, the
Pixel?
Only one. No,
no, I was saying we're not talking about that, right?
Side scroller brawler. Scott Pilgrim. Yeah, oh, man, okay. I can't believe I based on that. Scott Pilgrim was to the point where that was not, I don't think, accessible.
No, that was more specialized.
And it was great.
It was great for the
people, but like that is such a small percentage of people that like watched that movie and got that, that this is like so accessible, but still just a delight. I thought it was great.
Yes.
Was there anything in the background that you may have noticed? Like any sort of Easter egg characters or actions?
What did you think?
We found Maximus.
Yeah, I saw Maximus in the background.
In the background.
From Disney's Tangled.
Okay, so not even a video game character. I thought that was the most interesting one. No.
My favorite was the Konami code to access the vault. Was great. I loved when Felix is going through the Lost and Found and he finds a little Metal Gear. It was great.
So the exclamation point.
Right.
One of my favorite things that I just noticed on this go was in the background, the cast of Q-Bert has been made homeless because the game got unplugged.
Right.
And you see the guy from Burger Time bringing them a burger.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Beautiful.
Burger Time is one of my favorite classics.
Yeah.
So the fact that I notice that now is even better.
Right.
Highs and lows. Like, what scenes really... What scene do you think defines this movie?
I think that is where I got hung up. And I also want to give you a chance to jump in. I think the... for me, I think it is what we talked a little bit about, what sold me on the movie was the bad guy support group.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, because I think this movie, like, ostensibly is about finding your place in the world, and that's a bunch of people who are trying to come to grips with, and the mantra, like, as he's gonna knock the Mentos into the Diet Cola, right? That I'm okay with being, it's not so bad being me, and I'm gonna butcher that, but like, the mantra that he gets out of that support group, was kind of magic. And I also, again, that's chock full of those in jokes that are funny, but like Zangief and his when he's trying to like talk him through I crush people's heads with my thighs, and if I don't do that, who's gonna do like that
right.
whole scene is just like, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Stacey,
gosh, I'm still thinking. Hold on, I have to pick the
sheer amount of setups and payoffs, whether it's like the it was cool to see the Cybugs really become a huge threat.
Sure.
But the Mentos Mountain, the Diet Coke Mentos Mountain, you wanted to see them all fall.
Yep.
And it presented it in a way to where there was enough time for the audience to realize, oh, do the mountain, do the Mentos.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
the amount of the film that they let the audience experience with the characters makes the majority of this movie just so easy to follow along with and a fun ride. The training sequence where scene of I don't know how to drive, but I mean it's in my code.
Yeah.
That's when they switch roles as who's the curmudgeon,
sure.
and who's the what,
right.
and seeing them play that tug of war and that dance was very fun too.
Yeah. All right. I think I have mine. So for me, the most defining bit was, so after they had that little training montage and she sat there and she's like, I'm going to win. I can do it. And he's like, well, hold on, calm down. She's like, well, do you think I can do it? And as soon as he's like, yeah, you know what? I think you can.
Mm.
It's just, he's just like tiny, tiny chance. And she's just so happy and so excited. And just kind of that whole, you just need someone to believe in you and you can do anything kind of thing.
And I'm crying.
I loved all of the little. I think this the devil's in the details, and this movie it just drips of that. Like, I love it's a small thing, but like they thought of the Cybugs being born in candy shells, right? Like, it's so good. Like, well, they needless to include that, but it's the best.
Mm-hmm. So one of the B plot essentially of the movie, while they're trying to get Ralph back into Fix It Felix, was Calhoun and Felix.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite part about their
aside from the aforementioned line,
favorite part about this subplot.
I liked so much about it though.
I like the honey glow, and I really like the moment where they realize that they like the
Laffy Taffy,
the Laffy Taffy in the background, and she's over it, right? Like,
and
the
she's
minute,
like, "Oh no,
yeah, yeah." She was great.
Of course, the wedding, but both of the weddings. I think the establishment of Calhoun in her own game before she goes on the hunt super important to the pure butter that is Jag McBrayer's Fix-It Felix. Just sets up for the perfect storm of those two getting... Like, they both really like colloquialisms and random turns of phrase.
And, dude, literally everything that comes out of her mouth is fantastic. Oh, I agree. Absolutely. Her setup is... one of the lines that we've... I mean, we'll go through lines at some point, but when she yells, "This is it, ladies! Kitten whispers and tickle fights end now!" I was like, yes.
The kind of adult... line of "Come on, pussy willows!" That was riding the line pretty hard, Disney. Yeah, that's fine.
They do that a couple times in this movie again, which is great. Like, it's so accessible for adults and kids. Again, the best of the genre.
What was did I ask what was your favorite game that you saw in the background? Like, whether it was.
I'm probably Street Fighter, being a street, I used to enjoy fighting games a ton, but the fact that I feel like that's not typically included, like, you imagine, like, Q-Bert's pretty iconic, right? Like, seeing some Mario characters or whatever, like, of course, and Pac-Man, right? These are all icons of the video game industry, but, like, Ken and Ryu, and, like, them being exhausted on that demo fight, when the lights go out in the arcade, like, let's call it a day, like, that was great.
That was good.
I think it was my favorite.
I actually really enjoyed when they were in Pac-Man, you know, they used the little... Does it have a name? The little middle ground as their meeting place, and then they just kind of all
the ghost room.
Out.
And then that gives the idea that the whole Pac-Man board is just this boring hallway with dots on the floor.
Right.
It was fun. It was fun seeing Pac-Man at the... They invited Pac-Man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And also... Skrillex was in this movie for some reason.
Oh, yeah, I know.
There.
Yeah.
Because
he did bits of the soundtrack. He helped remix, because that's when he was kind of peaking. He was at a peak. It was very weird, I mean, if they showed, like, a DJ Hero in the background or something like that, then it makes sense.
Maybe.
Which one of the games that they introduced... Do you want to go to the arcade and play the most?
Heroes Duty. Yeah, I mean, right now I want that medal. Mm-hmm. Like, my life is incomplete without that. I mean, I want to sign
medal.
Me up, take all of my money. I want to play Heroes Duty.
It's probably like a $3 game too.
Can I play as Calhoun? Is my question.
How many quarters you put in?
Oh, well, no, it would be within the rules of that game. So you would have to be the camera bot.
Person, yeah,
I want to play as Calhoun. Can I play as Calhoun? Is she a DLC? Like, let's make this happen.
It's
I want to play as Calhoun,
game, man.
I don't know,
maybe
this hypothetical situation we're talking about, imaginary games, like, that's all I'm saying.
If you get to play as Calhoun, then yes.
I'm on board.
Okay.
I did love that the fact they established the first person as just a camera on wheels, because
that's great, right?
And I think I even play, like, I play inverted, like, when I play shooters, because I relate to, right? Like, so when you pull down on the X-axis, because I'm relating to that pulling a camera back and looking up, and then pushing it forward to look down, right? Like, we're 95% of the population, like, if you press up is up, right? But, like, I've always kind of related
to... Inverted.
Too. You're an inverted?
That's how I play,
well, I'm on
this side of the table, Mr. Donica.
I cannot play it otherwise.
My brain doesn't
I'll
work that way.
I'll sit there and I'll die within 2 seconds every time because I just can't turn the right way.
I play inverted for flight games, but I don't play inverted for shooters.
So he's a monster.
I am a monster.
No, literally, I wonder what the percentages are. And actually, I think it'd be interesting to see, like, what characteristics do people who are inverts... We're having our own little therapy group, Mark. Thanks for having us.
We're going to start a study. Well,
we'll do this. We're having fun over here. This is a party side of the table.
Which would you want to play?
Oh, I'd be all about Sugar Rush.
Sugar Rush, me too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm a big fan of the standing racing game, though, too. So I would play Turbo Time. I think that would be fun.
As an asshole who goes into other games and takes those over, I want to play Turbo Time too, man. That guy's legit.
Oh, if, like, he was
not
messing around. Yes.
Turbo, that would be great.
Totally. Every other level's a different game you're taking over.
This
is the new game.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just a disgruntled video game character, and you just have to go into games.
Dimitri Martin's got that whole bit about video game hospital, where it's just like really, 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 really busy hospital, where the video game characters from all the other hospitals come, or the games when they're shot come to this hospital,
and then they get released at some time.
Right.
Yeah. Poor people. It's not like a Pokemon Center, which we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago on Video Game Movie Anatomy. Check it out. Yeah, you missed Pokemon. It was an interesting look at what I thought was nostalgia. So
nostalgia sometimes needs to stay.
Yes,
nostalgia.
It's nostalgic for a reason.
Learned this,
which is why I really wanted you to be there. Which is fine. Just go back and watch it. We'll force you.
I have a lot of YouTube comments.
Do you guys think that? that Turbo slash King Candy becoming a cybug was cheesy or unexpected, or do you think he should have done it on his own merits?
Dude, look, it works. They explained it in a gaming nomenclature, right? Yeah. It's a boss level. Mm-hmm. Genius, right? Like, at the end of the movie, end of the game.
Welcome
to the boss level. Let's
do this.
He even
had his, like, catchphrase, you know. Yeah, the bosses keep yelling over and over again.
Dude, I thought it was great. It's super worked. If it just happened... Fine, but like they explained it away with that boss level. Welcome to the boss level. It was great.
Yeah.
It was
not
great.
Cheesy.
It did work out.
No. You're leading this.
No. I'm just asking.
It was a little bit obvious of a plot device, mm-hmm. but I don't think it was bad or really out there to the point where I'd sit there and be like, oh.
Because you don't want a boss in a video game.
No, that's cool. Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And they set it up earlier in the movie when they talked about the cybugs eating and growing and changing based on what they eat. So it was a fine setup. It wasn't something where it's like at the last minute, oh, by the way, when they eat something, they kind of become it.
Surprise!
Yeah, and so that worked. A little bit about the production of this movie. The original concept of this movie, Disney wanted to make this back in the late 80s.
I can't handle that. It's so cool.
Well, I figure it was the working title was High Score. So it made it seem like, and then in the late 90s, they tried it as Joe Jump, and then Reboot Ralph in the mid-2000s. So they made it seem like it was about the hero. They were trying to make it. They were trying to make a video game movie about the hero. So it ended up with the director Moore, as well as Lasseter, who was the head of Walt Disney Animation at the time. They decided to make it about the bad guy who wanted. He wanted something more. He wanted to become a good, at least a good guy. So, would you have preferred to see it from a good guy's perspective, or do you think this worked out?
It's totally worked, and it's also not only does this perspective work, but this time worked, right? Like animation is such right now that they could really effectively, like awesomely animate all of these different styles of games. If this had been done in the 80s, I'm sure it'd have been fine. There might have even been a good message there, but like, I think part of what makes this fantastic are the effects, right? Like they really transport you to a very different aesthetic every time you go somewhere else. It was awesome watching them on the screen at the same time, right? Watching Calhoun next to Felix, next to the candy people. Like, it was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he even calls it out. He's like, oh, look at these HD graphics, which is, like, the best pickup line, as far as I'm concerned. He's so good.
He's
so good.
You need to stop looking at me right now, though, man. And something that I saw in the special features was for Niceland, where Fix-It Felix takes place, they made sure that none of the Nicelanders ever move in a diagonal...
They're
always on that grid.
That pixelation and animation was fantastic.
Totally, right? Like, they're like at 15 frames a second, right? They're just boop, boop, boop.
And even the smallest detail, when Ralph is pounding on the bricks to kind of make a bed, every single puff of smoke is a square.
Yes.
But you can't see it because it's like 5 seconds and it just looks right.
Right.
Yeah.
So the attention to detail that they made, especially, and for Sugar Rush, they had the set designer make it in candy before they even animated it.
Really?
100%.
That's so cool.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so cool. Of course they did.
Hey,
of course
they did. Can you make this set in candy, please?
Yeah, done. Okay.
Best day on the job ever.
Of course they did.
It was, yeah.
So good.
Not surprised.
The attention to this world, as well as the reverence for the existing worlds. I actually have, if you can bring it up on screen, I have a picture of the game station... one of the alleyways early in the movie, you see a and if we could bring it up on our screen too, James, it's on the taskbar. There's graffiti. There's a whole bunch of graffiti. It should be the last picture. There it is. On the left it says Aerith Lives.
Yep.
Which for you Final Fantasy VII fans out there,
wow!
Like they got a death thing in there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then on the right you can't. Unfortunately, the glare is a little bit much. All your base are belong to us.
Stop.
Yes.
Stop.
100%.
Yeah.
And also, there's...
it's good.
In a different section of the movie, I couldn't find the still of it, there's in giant blue letters, Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
Leroy
it's on the other side.
Jenkins! So, they have the culture, and they have the world is just... It's respect and reverence, and those tiny little references on the off the bat. That's when Ralph is first coming back from the meeting. It gives you a sense of this movie respects the world that I'm coming from.
Totally.
And the things that I like in a way that isn't overt, and I don't, and I think we're in good hands here.
I like it even more. That's so good.
There's always something to find.
Like, it's the world needs more Leroy Jenkins references, as far as I'm concerned.
And actually, speaking of the villain's circle, one of my favorite bits of trivia was there was Capcom had a little bit more to do in the movie. The original, when they first were showing the villain's roundtable, Dr. Wily from Mega Man was in the spot of the noob Cybot, the ninja that pulls the heart out of the zombie.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be Dr. Wily, but something, I mean, Capcom is already all over the movie.
Sure.
So they pulled it back for some reason, but Mega Man and Dr. Wily were supposed to be in the movie. And I would have loved it even more, but when we talk about game overs and extra lives, we may be able to move a little bit forward. So here's the pedigree of the man who directed this film. Rich Moore directed The Simpsons, the original run of Futurama, including the pilot. So this he was the director of Futurama, The Critic, Drawn Together, which has always been one of my favorite shows.
I love The Critic.
Baby Blues, which was a fun little show, and Spy vs. Spy for Mad TV. And he also there's a short-lived show as well called Sit Down Shut Up, which was about a school. It was fun, but it got canceled, unfortunately. But also, so this was his first theatrical movie, and with a sense of nostalgia for that humor that we've grown up with, with The Simpsons, with Futurama, with The Critic, with Drawn Together, maybe a little bit more recent. It's no wonder why the humor in this movie is so
complete sense.
Hitting on point.
Smart.
Yes. Speaking of smart, he's going to be directing the upcoming movie Zootopia, which is coming out next spring for Disney.
All right.
Which is Disney's return to anthropomorphic animal movies. And all of the stuff that I've seen on you need to look up Zootopia Sloth.
Okay.
Oh, it's
one of their new trailers.
All of the
DMV is run by sloths.
I'm on board. Sold.
Yeah. And all of the stuff that they showed us at D23 is amazing. So this guy,
Los Angeles.
Oh, he also did the voices of Bill, Sour Bill, and Zangief.
The Zangief speech was great.
Yeah. Is that good? And good for him. And he's also one of the portraits in Tapper's, like, all of the little so he's all over this movie. Flippin' love this movie.
Good man.
Bless his heart. I love him so much. So getting into the critical box office, this was a very well-received movie.
Sure.
It was actually really hard to find a really bad review.
Was there one?
There was one.
Okay.
And it doesn't make sense.
Do you remember?
I've got them down here.
Okay.
So let's do the negative first. This is from Christopher Orr from The Atlantic. Unlike the Pixar films towards which it aspires, which marry sophisticated conceits to straightforward storylines, Wreck-It Ralph consistently gets lost in its own intricate plot mechanics, which I disagree.
No. It's not lost. Lost is the wrong adjective.
This movie is also
on track. There's not a wasted frame.
I agree.
Yeah.
It is very easy to follow along with what's going on in the movie. And they do introduce a lot of things, but it all ties up and it all goes somewhere.
There's nobody...
And it's very clear.
Nobody... And following up on the not a wasted pixel, there isn't a character introduced that isn't important in some way or another. Even Sour Bill becomes, like, it's a funny joke. And then it becomes integral in Ralph finding out about Vanellope and what Vanellope really is.
Totally. I mean, you said smart a minute ago, but like also I'd say there's like a level of intentionality in this movie. I think, again, Lost, you're right, is nonsensical.
Yeah.
I mean, usually I don't get into reviews being wrong, but dude, straight wrong.
And here's one that knocks it out of the park. Betsy Sharkey from the Los Angeles Times. It's not just the joystick junkie in me that admires Wreck-It Ralph. Disney's wacky new comic adventure with a lovable lug of a video game character at its center. The movie's subversive sensibility and old school / new school feel are a total kick, and it nails like a new new school story mechanic of like this the single father and the daughter and the video game framework, but it's at its core it's a classic Disney movie.
Yeah for sure. And it really celebrates, like, I think to your point that you even reinforced it with the Leroy Jenkins one, it celebrates gamer culture without it being the punchline, which I didn't see Pixels, but everything about Pixels seemed to demonstrate that gamers were the punchline.
Yeah. There's one line that made me knew, I mean, I knew already that I wasn't going to see it, but one line in the trailer that made me go, I'm going to hate this movie.
It was starring Adam Sandler?
No. Speaking of Adam Sandler, but it was something that he said, just the one where he goes,
Donkey Kong. I was like, they're not going to take it
they
seriously.
Don't get it. No, no, oh, yeah, no. Get it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not for gamers by gamers.
No, not at all.
No, whatsoever. It's for Sony
but it seems like a shitty trade-in, right? Like, they're treading on nostalgia. And again, it's all earned in this, right? Like, your reverence for that source material, obviously, if they've got, like, Final Fantasy VII references and, like, all of your base, are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, great, genius.
Like, that's one that'll go over most people's head, unless you were internet, like, 1.0.
But reverent for the source material, right? Like, they, yeah, and, like, it's not treading on nostalgia and cashing in on it, if that makes any sense, which I felt like Pixels was a bunch of licensed nonsense.
I can agree with that. We're running a little low on time, so let's get to some of our favorite parts. Great. The favorite line. This is where we talk about what our favorite line in the movie was. There's so many good ones to pick.
I had to stop myself from writing things down.
Really?
I had to stop.
I had to go first one that's in my mind, and that's it.
That was done.
Okay, you're just doing one?
Yep, I'm doing this one.
Okay.
You wouldn't hit a guy with glasses, would you? Hit a guy with glass. That's very, very clever.
He's breaking me. You broke me. That's in all of our list. There's no doubt. No,
it is right there.
Totally. Yeah, it's absolutely so good.
Because the timing, the setup, and the joke.
And your delivery, by the way, I'm so glad that was yours.
I love it. Stacey?
All right. So I think the one I'm going to go with is Ralph, when he finds, like, the fungin, or he's trying to figure out what's going on, and he's like, what's going on in this candy-coated heart of darkness?
Yeah. Totally.
Every time, I just die. I know. It's so good. So good.
So I've got a 1 and a 1A, but I think Calhoun's saying, the selfish man is like a mangy dog chasing a cautionary tale.
Yeah, that was so good.
It was so good, I wish I'd written it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I write a little bit, and I'm like, it just, like, slow clap right on the screen.
Mother Hubbard.
You alluded to it earlier when Ralph says, they invited Pac-Man, that cherry-chasing dot muncher isn't even part of this game.
Yeah.
Cherry-chasing dot muncher.
When they throw insults in this game, or in this movie about games, they throw them well.
That sounds like
also a little filthy,
running through the dirt.
It's
and like
filthy,
yeah.
But just fantastic. Yeah, it was so good. Right up there, that and Diaper Baby have been in my head since I watched this movie.
I hope that becomes a part of everybody's regular lexicon.
It's going to be my mic check from now on.
Good, it should be. You've got to write it down. Yeah.
There you go.
So with every movie, we like to recast these with special little quips. Because this movie was supposed to come out in the late 80s, this week we're doing late 80s actors for our main five, Ralph, Vanellope, Fix-It Felix Jr., Calhoun, and King Candy. Who wants to go first? With our star, Ralph.
I'd like you to go first because I did because I never actually play by the rules.
I appreciate it. In my mind,
I'm porting this game. So I'm porting Wreck-It Ralph and this stuff to iOS and PS4.
Okay.
So I've got two separate casts. So actually, I didn't go the 80s. I'm not subject matter expert there.
I just said Ralph Macchio.
I know, I'm the worst.
So okay.
I just want Ralph Macchio.
I could see Macchio as Felix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
There you go.
That's all I wanted.
Nailed it.
Yeah, all right.
Perfect. All right, Stacey.
Okay, so for Ralph, I came up with two for most of these, actually.
Okay.
So my first one was Michael J. Fox.
Interesting that you say that.
That is very
interesting
good.
That you say that. I was figuring more of like a Lummox, more of like a relatable everyman, so I put Jeff Bridges. Like, right there, after Tron,
yep. mm-hmm.
right before Big Lebowski.
He's super dependable. Mm-hmm. Yep,
You hear his voice, and you're like
he's fixing stuff.
I can really like that guy.
Yeah. Excellent.
No, for Ralph, not for Felix.
Mm.
It's okay. I still love you.
No, I want him as Felix.
But speaking of Michael J. Fox, that's who I put for Felix.
I was torn. I actually had a discussion with my husband about it.
Yeah.
Like, no, do you think for Felix or for Ralph? So we went back and forth a few times.
So who did you put for Felix?
So for Felix, I put Matthew Broderick.
That's really good.
Was the decided best choice.
I know. I realized I totally skipped over you just because I want to talk about
Broderick. I've got minor
Bueller,
game ports.
Like Ferris
so I'm just
Bueller,
color commentary on yours.
Ferris Bueller, Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
I mean, no, that's a great call.
I'm down. That's great.
I mean, a great call.
Yeah. What do you got? What do you got, Patrick?
So, I did ports. So, I've got two, like, an iOS port. So, like, we're taking this movie and I'm putting it on iOS. And I'm doing up, Ralph is going to be Jack Black. So, like, yeah, they're just, like, a little more family. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Wreck-It Ralph's going to be Jack Black. Melissa McCarthy is actually going to be Calhoun.
A little more jovial.
Okay. We're fun family. And then I've got... We need a little bit more of a diverse cast, so I'm actually casting Camille Mangiani from Silicon Valley.
No, I know Camille.
Camille Nanjiani as Felix.
I like that too.
All right.
Speaking of Calhoun, who do you have for Calhoun?
Calhoun, Jamie Lee Curtis was my.
I just saw who your other one was. Who was your other one?
Sigourney Weaver.
I wrote the exact same two. Yes.
Sigourney Weaver. Sigourney
there were really only two choices for Calhoun in the late 80s. I mean, that's it.
But Terminator 2, what was her name?
Shoot. I totally.
You know what I'm talking about? She she would have been a great Calhoun.
She would have been good too.
I didn't know her name. She was married to James Cameron. I'm sorry, I'm the worst.
No, I know, terrible. But we all see her.
Yeah.
But I was like, Weaver seems like the obvious choice. Who's the other one? Jamie Lee Curtis. And then look over and be like,
she
just nailed it.
Important, though, our female lead, Vanellope von Schweetz. I didn't hear what you said to say about her for Vanellope.
Oh, and the port. I don't know. I don't have her for the iOS.
That was kind of hard. Because
I've got a cast for the PlayStation version. In the 1080p 60 frames a second version, I've got Hugh Jackman playing Wreck-It Ralph.
Jeez.
You gotta be sexy, right? We're sexing it up. This is like new version. Rose Byrne is actually gonna play Calhoun.
Oh my god.
I know. And so Fix-It Felix, I'm torn between Zach Woods, who's also in Silicon Valley, the tall guy who's in The Office. Or, again, sticking with that really, attractive, good-looking thing. I want to go Mark Paul Gosselaar, which would be Zach from Saved by the Bell. I'm still a fan of Zach Morris. Yeah. I'm still in love with Kelly Kapowski. That's my PlayStation 4 version of this
PG.
Game.
It's a good guy. Right. What about you, Stacey, for Vanellope?
For Vanellope, Tiffany Thiessen.
That's not the only one I put Drew Barrymore.
That was my other one.
For a late 80s.
Oh, shit. Yes. That's really, really good.
And I was actually thinking, should I put Tiffany Thiessen in MIP?
Really?
I literally just said Kelly Kapowski.
This is weird. All right, so the most important for King Candy / Turbo, this is super likable. Somebody whose performance you can go, oh, I love that guy. There's no way that he can possibly be bad.
I think the obvious choice is Robin Williams.
That's a great choice. And I'm not that choice.
It's the obvious. Well, I'm picking up my mic.
Obvious choice is the one that we didn't match up on.
I know, right? She's like, I got it solved. I don't even want to hear yours, Mark. Yeah. It's Robin Williams.
We matched up on the other one.
Yeah, I know.
This was my personal favorite, but I thought Robin Williams was the obvious one.
This is a man who we all miss. I mean, we all miss Robin Williams as well. Gone way too soon, John Candy. John Candy as King Candy is funny for several reasons. But also, it would be a different, completely different type of performance. But and I could almost see him as a Ralph too. But I think he would be a good counter for that silliness. And he's a guy that you would never expect to turn into Turbo.
No, it's really good.
And that's why I like it so much. I love doing the casting thing.
It's my favorite part of the show.
Let us know, late 80s actors, who you would want to see voicing these roles down in the comments or on Twitter. Before we get going, final thoughts on Wreck-It Ralph.
I wish all video game movies were this caliber. I wish all movies were of this caliber. And again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you to the two of you for not subjecting me to another awful movie. This is a pure joy and a great movie to kind of go into the holiday season.
Stacey.
I absolutely adore this movie. I think it hits all the right places. It gives you all of the feelings. And you know what? I was slightly disappointed with this movie when it first came out because of how it just focused on the couple lands as opposed to being a romp through a whole bunch of different video games. But I've grown to, I love it. It's absolutely endearing and the characters are likable. The humor is on point.
Mm-hmm. There was actually another game that was going to be featured called Easy Livin' 2, in an early version of the script where it's going to be like a Sims where Ralph just kind of shows up and everybody's like, oh, everything's great, right? totally awesome, great. And he keeps getting thumbs up. He's like, ah, we're kind of
this
like
is all right.
But there's no negativity whatsoever. So he's like, I don't like this. This is weird. Yeah, never mind. Abort. Mm-hmm. Wreck-It Ralph is a movie that I adored upon seeing it opening day, and this was the first time since then that I've watched it, and it made me realize I need to watch this movie a lot more regularly because it makes you feel stuff, that warm and fuzzies that you just don't get with every movie, and I truly believe that this will be considered a Disney classic with enough time that's passing. We usually do a verdict, which is an extra life, that you want to give this movie another chance, or game over, you think this is good, so, or you think that's it, this told the story, we're done with it. what do you guys think about this movie?
I want him to leave this arcade and run into other versions. He didn't know there was an iOS version of him out there. He didn't know that there was all these other Felixes and all these Ralphs out there. And I want him to see different versions of the gritty reboot. I want him to run into a gritty reboot version of himself, right? And I want them to all get together. Like, I want more of this for sure, but in the modern context of the video game industry. Yes, more. Right. Absolutely.
It's essentially all but confirmed that we're getting a Wreck-It Ralph 2. Voice actors have confirmed.
Wait, really?
I'm so glad I came on the show.
Yeah, I know.
Jack McBrayer has essentially said, yeah, I've already got this script and I'm recording lines. So it's still an early production. Yes. And I totally forget the guy who did the music, which was phenomenal.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm already writing stuff for the second one. It'll be interesting to see where they can go with it, but, I mean, we're all extra life here. I want to see the continuing adventures of Ralph and crew.
Yes. I want you.
Oh, look. That's not the music. Don't worry about it. So, yes, we all give this an extra life. Can't wait to see more from Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
And, but for now, that'll do it for this episode of Video Game Movie Anatomy. We're not coming back in 2 weeks because of the holidays, so make sure to follow us on Twitter and use the hashtag VGM Anatomy to find out what we're watching next week. Patrick Dees.
Please tweet at us. Let us know what we should watch and save me from watching terrible stuff. You can find me at
really
P.
Bad ones.
Right? Or the worst ones. You can find me at P to the Dees on Twitter, and I host a video game podcast called Pixel by Pixel. You can find that on iTunes.
I'm also on Twitter as Ye Old Nerd, or more commonly at Nerds Doing Stuff, where I'm a nerd doing stuff.
It's the best setup.
It's the best.
It's the best. It's
you know
perfect.
What you get
Stumbled
going
on
in.
It, gotta keep it.
Yeah,
people are doing stuff.
Back of the box quote.
going back to them. Right, I'm the Internet Soapbox Mark Donick. You can follow me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. I recently did an episode of Hot Pepper Gaming that's going to be going up in a couple of weeks.
I can't wait.
Yeah, me and Dave. It was great.
I cannot wait.
And former host of the show, Dave Klein, did it as well. We both did it at the same time. Whole bunch of fun.
DK?
He's great. Donkey Kong. Sorry. Different. We're doing a special episode of Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network on Friday about The Force Awakens. And then Jessica Jones, we're doing our wrap-up on Wednesday. Too much stuff. Too much good stuff. Use hashtag VGM Anatomy, and we will see you at the arcade.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.